Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I will confess, we're about to have a procession of the baptismal babies coming shortly. We have five today, so it's going to be a little different. It'll be a little different service. Very, very exciting. This is actually a record for Mary, the number of babies to baptize at once. I want to welcome all of our guests. Be sure and fill out the attendance form for the people that are visiting for the first time. The good news is, you fill out the form, you get free bread. That's homemade bread, too, or actually church-made bread. I want everybody to look at the announcements in the bulletin. Be sure and start your diets now, if you haven't already. The annual United Methodist Women Bake Sale is coming on us with all the goodies and everything else. Ladies, I will warn you, I gave up chocolate for Lent, so my purchases may not be as significant this year as they have been in years past. But everybody be ready for that. It's very exciting. They'll have their tables outside during after services, before and after services next week. Buy early, buy often. Terrific Tuesday's coming back. The Asbury Prison Band will be featured entertainment this next Tuesday. Always have a great time. Reserve your seat by calling the office. Take note of the Holy Week schedule on the back of your bulletin, as well as the special spring days coming up. Also, be sure to look at the various Bible studies being offered by the church. The meaningful, several of us meet on Wednesday mornings at 6 o'clock. Others meet at that in the evening. We have the women meeting on Sunday evening. We have Bible classes on Tuesday. We have Sunday school classes. Take advantage of those. That's what's really a real key part of being an integral part in a vibrant life within our church. Are there other announcements? If not, please greet your neighbors. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. Who shall help us through the wilderness?
The one who overcomes our darkness.
Who guides us through the toils of life?
The one who overcomes the world.
Let us follow the Lord faithfully.
Lead us, Lord.
Please join us now as we sing our hymn of praise, I Sing the Almighty Power of God, page 152.
Thank you.
Thank you. Won't you please be seated? And as we prepare to greet, I don't know which way to say it other than all the Carr grandchildren, since we have so many different names to deal with today, I would invite the congregation to prepare to enter into the sacrament of holy baptism as you go to page 44, and there will be that moment when I will indicate for you to stand in honor of these precious children and give your pledge as their church family. So page 44, if you'll prepare to do that. Now I invite the family to come forward. What a special day. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of infant baptism and children's baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is given to us without price. Today, Kristen and Aaron Squires present their daughters, Kennedy Carson and Catherine Kendall, for holy baptism. And today, Kelly Murphy presents her son, Richard Collin, for holy baptism. Okay, and Carrie and Justin Hill also present their daughter, Valerie Ruth, and their son, Wentworth Jay, for holy baptism. So I ask you parents this question, and I'm going to do this separately by families. Kristen and Aaron, will you nurture Kennedy and Catherine in Christ's holy church by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and lead a Christian life? And if you will, your response is, we will. Okay. And Kelly, and also on behalf of George, who couldn't be with us today, will you nurture Richard Collin in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and lead a Christian life? And if you will, your response is, I will, and George will. And Carrie and Justin, will you nurture Valerie Ruth and Wentworth Jay in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and lead a Christian life? And if you will, your response is, we will. Let us pray with thanksgiving over this water. Most blessed Father, we give you thanks over this water you have provided and blessed through your Spirit. We recall the baptism of Jesus Christ and the anointing of our Lord through your Spirit. We understand through our baptism we grow to know Jesus, and one day convicted of our sin, we become ready to proclaim him as Savior. Pour out your Holy Spirit and bless Kennedy, Catherine, Collin, Ruth, and Jay, who receive this water now. May they be clothed in righteousness and grow in your love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Kennedy Carson Squires, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May you grow to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, our Lord, as you are offered the water and the Spirit and new life in Christ. Amen. Catherine Kendall Squires, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through the water and the Spirit, you may become a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Richard Collin Murphy, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through the water and the Spirit, you may become a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Valerie Ruth Hill, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit work within you that you may, being born through the water and the Spirit, become a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Wentworth J. Hill, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born by the water and the Spirit, you may become a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, congregation, please stand in honor of these beautiful children. Going to do this a little differently today. We're going to do the congregational pledge, and then I'm going to let them parade them because I can't carry five. So, but I want to be sure that you see them. So let's do the pledge and then allow them to go forward up the aisle. Members of the Household of Faith, I commend to your love and care Kennedy and Catherine Squires, Colin Murphy, Ruth and Jay Hill, whom this day we recognize as members of the family of God. Will you endeavor so to live that they may grow in the knowledge and the love of God through our Savior Jesus Christ? With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ that these children, surrounded by steadfast love, may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. Amen. You may be seated as we begin this glorious parade. Just if you'll go up there, the congregation needs to see what I've been able to see. I didn't tell you this part because I'm afraid you wouldn't do it. Okay. Asbury, you do know that you're making history today. I don't know when ever in the history of this church you've had five at once, other than a confirmation class, perhaps, but not this. I know you are all anxious to visit, but this is an hour-long service. There'll be time to do that later. But I suppose every parade has a kind of time to talk and wait.
Amen and amen.
It is when a mother is showing the children, it takes a little longer than the preacher. Okay, I got that. I got that. Okay, as they go on to the nursery, let us have this prayer, please. Most gracious Lord, we give you thanks for Kennedy, Catherine's, Collins, Ruth's, and Jay's precious lives, and for their loving parents, Kristen and Aaron, Kelly and George, Carrie and Justin. Bless and keep them now and forever in your blessed peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Will you please stand and join me in our affirmation of faith from 1 Corinthians. You find this in your bulletin. This is the good news which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, then to Peter and the 12, and then to many witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, in whom all things firstborn, together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Christ is the head of the body, the church, and by the blood of the cross reconciles all things to God. Amen.
Oh, our children come forward for children's time.
Good morning. How are we this morning? Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday.
Thank you. Are there things that you like to do with your fathers? What are some things you like to do? You like to play? What else do you like to do? Do you do things with your fathers? What do you like to do?
Go to daddy-daughter dances.
Daddy-daughter dances, that's fun. Do you like to go outside and play football? Soccer? Soccer. There's a lot of things that we like to do with our dads, don't we? It was. Well, very nice. Do you know that we have another father that loves us? Just as much as our father that loves us. Who is that? God. God does, doesn't he? He provides for us like our daddies do. Do you think that he takes care of us? He does. He gives us blessings. He prays for us every day. Do you think so? And so we have a strong, I think we have a strong enough relationship with God, just like we have a strong relationship and love for our own daddies. So we need to remember that as we go and have fun times with our dads, that we also have a dad that loves us also in God, who will protect us and love us. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for today, and we thank you for the wonderful and gorgeous weather you gave us this morning. We just ask that you remind us that you too love and guide us and protect us every day, just like our daddies do. We ask this all in our Son's holy name we pray. Amen.
As we enter into this time of prayer, I remind you to look on the back at the persons that we have in particular in our prayer list: Janet Brandt, Becky Flynn, Mary Ellen Murray, Clifford Smith, and Larry Brown. Are there others that we should add to that? Then let's go to God in prayer. Our Father, we confess. We confess that during this time of Lent, we've been more focused on what we are giving up as opposed to focusing on what you gave up. We've been more focused on those things of spring than that blessings, all the blessings that you bring us constantly. We've been focused on sometimes the legislators and all that messy, contentious, crazy things that happen at our state and federal capital, and yet we forget the blessing of being in a democratic society. You have blessed us in so many ways, and we don't see it. Last week, we were here without electricity, and it turned out to be the biggest blessing we had had in a long time, with a spirit-filled service, spirit-filled cells. It was a neat experience, God. Thank you. Thank you for the ways that you have blessed us and remind us of all the things and ways that you have given us our life. Lord, we baptized 5 children this morning. Never let each of us here forget our obligation, our promise that we made right here, right now, to help raise those children in your love. May we be reminded of that every day as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As our ushers come forward, I'll remind you of the many ways that we are in mission and ministry here in Asbury, working throughout the city and throughout the state. Our gifts contribute to those people trying to help in Mozambique. It helps in the United Methodist Committee on Overseas on Relief for those that are tornado victims and flood victims. This is a part of that. At the same time, we have our feeding ministry, whether it's at Quapaw Quarters or downstairs at our food pantry. It is important to be in continued ministry, and that's what your tithes and offerings go toward. Now let us pray. Our Father, we know that what we give back is just a token of the ways that you've blessed us and given us. We know that what we give back to you is, heck, already yours. Help us as we take these tithes, these offerings, and put it to your ministry. In your name we pray. Amen.
Sings a song.
please remain standing for our hymn of meditation, Stand Up and Bless the Lord, page 662.
Would you please be seated? This morning, it's as always my joy to share with you from God's holy word. Today, we're going to go to the Gospel of Matthew, the 27th chapter, verses 45 and 46. I'll give you a moment to find that. Matthew 27, verses 45 and 46. The people of God. Inspired by this passage of God's holy word and be blessed in its hearing and reading. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So for those of you that have not been with us in our Lenten series, just a very, very brief recap. We're looking at sources of strength in our salvation. Sources of strength which also Jesus drew upon as he faced the cross. And so on our first Sunday, we looked at the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And we realized that drawing upon our humility by the example of Christ is important in strengthening our faith. And then we looked at the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit is there not only for Christ, but was there and is there for us as a source of guidance, a source of strength. Then last week we looked at truth, what a generous source of strength it is to us to be confronted in the truth, to live in the truth, to share the truth. Today we simply look to perhaps the greatest strength we have, that of Father. Father Almighty, Father of all wisdom, Father of all might. Forsaken and lost. All of us have felt that at one time or another. I know there seemed to be a period in our ministry where the preacher and her husband and the parsonage seemed to be a safe haven and almost attracted like a magnet the forsaken and the lost. For instance, one evening the doorbell rang, and a little neighborhood boy said, I don't know if you know this, but there's a deer in your front yard. It was a domesticated deer. And along with the domesticated deer that had gotten out of its pen somewhere, there was a little kitten, which Katie said just followed her home. So there we had these two living creatures of God scared to death of one another, a little domesticated fawn and a little tiny kitten. And so the great Eagle Scout, Tony Hilliard, is, he went and found a rope and lassoed the deer. And at one point, I really couldn't tell which legs were Tony's and which were that deer's. And then the next thing I know, they're kind of mangled up in this rope, and then the local police come by with a spotlight. They decide that this is truly a crisis, and they intervene, and all is well. The deer is returned to its pen, and we adopt the cat. That cat of which gave me cat scratch fever, I kid you not, but I survived. Have you ever felt truly forsaken? Have you ever felt such despair? You wondered where your father was. The taunts and jeers from the soldiers had ceased. It was noon that day, and the light that had been bright had turned into darkness, covering the hill of Golgotha for some 3 hours. There was a strange uneasiness among those gathered and still remaining at the base of the cross. Suddenly, on the face of the man whose head was still crowned with thorns, with parched lips, our Jesus said, the words that we know so well, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, those who knew and loved Jesus recognized that he was quoting the first verse of Psalm 22. Why did Jesus feel God had forsaken him? Jesus would not be the Savior of fallen humanity unless he too experienced the kind of human sorrow and despair that we feel at times. To avoid human suffering would somehow make Jesus less real to us, right? Jesus experienced sorrow and anguish and pain, although at a far deeper and greater level than you and I do. Nonetheless, we have experienced sorrow, anguish, and pain. Because of this, we do not have to experience that which Jesus would be unwilling to experience himself. As our own lives unfold and trouble hits, there are times we feel forsaken. We feel that there are situations that occur to us, and sometimes we feel forsaken and we feel like we're in this bad dream, and surely at some point we're going to realize this isn't real at all. It's just an illusion. And we say to ourselves, surely this Father who loves us so much would not allow us to endure this. We have prayed a loved one who is suffering might be healed and not die. We have prayed for those close to us that have maybe endured a moment of unemployment that seems to drag on day after day, even year after year. And we feel hopeless and helpless to resolve their situation. We prayed for a positive resolution to conflict, and yet someone may very well get hurt. In those moments, we feel let down somehow. We feel forsaken. So during Lent, we attempt to feel better by trying to convince ourselves that Jesus is not fully human. He was God. He didn't really feel the nails tear through his flesh like you and I would feel nails tearing through our flesh. But we know this God who came to visit upon this earth in the form of his own flesh in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This Jesus, both fully divine, was both fully human. And in perhaps one of his moments that may describe his greatest humanity, when he could very easily have hopped down from that cross, especially when he heard those words ringing in his ears, he saved others, let him save himself. In that moment, we encompass Christ's greatest love. He most definitely could have done that. He could have said, those worthless sinners, they're not worth all this pain. Let them receive their just punishment. But those words, don't you see, could never have come from one whose mission and purpose in life was to be our Savior. Because those words could not have come from one who was so brilliant in wisdom and mind, could not have come from one who had the voice only of love. The voice of God. Listen and look to the numbers. Jesus, in all his humanity, chose to endure 4 mock trials, to experience the harshness of 39 lashings, because 40 was the limit to Jewish law. And so they did 39 to make sure they didn't miscount, seriously. He carried a cross that is estimated to have been 300 pounds as far as he could, and then he could no longer, as his back was torn apart from whippings. And then he hung on that 300-pound cross for 6 agonizing hours. And while upon that cross, he denied the tiniest of painkiller, a spot of wine, more like vinegar. For he wanted to absorb the fullness of your sin, and the fullness of my sin, and the fullness of humankind's sin for all the ages. He desired to feel that at the depth of his core. That is why we believe in his life, our sins meet their death. And we believe that he did for us what we can never do for ourselves, be sinless and pure and righteous. What does he ask for all of this? That you only believe. That you only believe. It doesn't cost you your life savings. He's not asking you to sacrifice your life. He's asking you to believe and to love and to follow, so you can share the belief and the love. Jesus' words of feeling forsaken no doubt felt very real. Let's look at the list of all who forsook him. The religious officials, his family members, his closest friends. So it's no wonder that in that brief moment, he felt that the one who loved him the most, his father, had forsaken him. And then it dawned on me, no one misses the presence of God as one who has been closest and consistent in the presence of God. When you and I feel forsaken, if we know the Bible at all, we may even use the phrase like the life of Job. Job, great wealth, great family, great life. All taken away. Family afflicted. Riches gone. Barns burned. Everything perished. And so unfair, and none of it appeared to be the fault of Job himself. And we know that we have suffered from time to time, and we just want to raise our hands up. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. But hear what Job said. But when I looked for good, evil came. When I waited for light, darkness came. And we are there. And we have moments when we say, why does this happen to me? I mean, I'm just going about my life. I'm not trying to cause any harm. I'm just trying to do what I'm supposed to do. And then wham! Why does this happen to me? We want answers. We want justification. I mean, in this instantaneous society where we can get the answer to a question just like that, well, we want answers. And we want it now. We actually want it yesterday. Behind the tears which do not dry, the voice that cannot seem to quit quivering, we want to cry out, Father, why have you forsaken me? Throughout my ministry, I've experienced multiples in my life. So have you. You know, not just one thing happens, you know, but then it seems to be followed by another and by another. You know, they say things come in threes. And so you're dealing with problems in the church, and you're raising children, and you're dealing with teenagers and aging parents all at once, and stuff just doesn't smooth out like you'd like. And you may, as well as me, may think, okay, time for a pity party. And then one moment, we've kind of gotten all immersed in that, and that doesn't feel any better, and we just got to stop. We've just got to stop. Think and pray and listen. And God reminds you and me, he's not changed. And you're not particularly changed. The circumstances in your life changed. You don't have control. And we like control. And we learn. And we learn that God never stops loving us. God never leaves us. God is there with us. God is giving us creative energy and thoughts to help us navigate through us. God has given us Holy Spirit to sustain us through it and keep us steady, strengthen us. God's never left us. Then I hear through the challenges, excuse me, and changes that are the nature of life, the words of Paul. Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ as Lord. The gain is Christ. And this smart man continued to say in God's word, a verse that we often draw from when we just can't figure out why we're going through something. If you know it, say it with me. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. All things work for good. That's not nearly words from Paul. That's a promise from God. Accidents, for instance. Gravity doesn't stop at some times and works at other times. It'd be kind of nice if we could just dial the channel, you know, and just say, okay, let's have gravity not work so well today or in this moment. God's whole plan is not based on present circumstances alone, and we have to remember all things work together for good, not only a promise, but our hope. Was Jesus really forsaken? No. And how do you and I know this? Because of what Jesus taught us. Go back to the parables of the lost. Remember? The lost son, the lost coin, the lost sheep. What happens? Everything comes to a stop, and God's focused on you. God's focused on me. Every pain, every throb, every ache, the feeling of God's presence was only fleeting in Jesus' mind. God's presence conquered all, as evidenced when Jesus extended in his last breaths, in his last moments. Look what Jesus did. He extended the grace of God to an undeserving thief. He gave a volume of mercy to a multitude who were there at the base of the cross. And he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." And then he took care of his family. And all he could do was use his eyes and his facial expression and shift over to his mother and said, "Behold your son." And shift his eyes over ever-present John, his beloved disciple, and say, "Behold your mother." This is who you worship today, folks. This is your Savior. The one who works through moments of feeling forsaken to still do all powerful good, to still extend all grace, all mercy, all compassion, and to be the example, even in death, that he was life. As far as I know, even in this second, our saint Mary Ellen Murray is still with us. And I've been going by most every day. And her example of dying, her witness of dying, has been just as powerful, if not more so, than her witness of her living. A believer. A promise that she's holding on to when she already has one foot, one of those dancing feet of hers, on the stairwell to heaven. In honor of Jesus and all Christ stands for, on this day when we baptized unto new life in Christ these five precious children, we claim and give thanksgiving for Jesus Christ, Son of God, our Father, giver of the Holy Spirit, that you and I celebrate that decision to give us new life, that we will never feel forsaken by God, whom we are given the gift to live with eternally. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our hymn of commitment is God of the Ages, 698. If there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, if you care to come forward and to pray, I'd be happy to meet you at the rail to do so. But let us be standing and sing our hymn of commitment, God of the Ages, 698.
Thank you.
special day this has been. I pray that you have felt the love of God, that you have felt the grace of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and that you have felt the movement of the Holy Spirit within this moment today. May we go now in the peace of Christ.